Do you have plans for Thanksgiving? Plans? We like plans, don't we? I read this little funny. The day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other. And so you call your sister in Chicago and you tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "They're not getting a divorce," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." And she called Phoenix immediately and she said to her father, "You are not getting a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. Do you hear me?" And the man hung up the phone and he turned to his wife and he said, "Okay, honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and they're paying their own flights." So, I hope that in addition to having plans for Thanksgiving, a get together with family, that you also have plans for giving thanks. You know, it is a family time. It's a great time to get together as a family and give thanks together as a family. But too often I think it's overlooked. It's all about something else. And let's let it not be that for us. Let's make Thanksgiving a time of giving thanks. Thanksgiving Day as a custom goes back to the day of the pilgrims in 1621. Of course, it goes beyond that too. God had the Feast of Tabernacles, or the ingathering it's called as well. And they gave, 3,000 some years before they were giving thanks. So Thanksgiving is God's idea. To them, in the 1621, among the pilgrims, to them it meant a lot more than a meal of turkey and cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. That's what we talk about when we talk about the pilgrims. No football game or a parade. For them, it was a special day that included singing hymns and reading scripture together, verbally offering thanks to God, and of course, enjoying that food that he had prepared to his glory. The Bible says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." I've said it before. You think of that verse and you think, well, how do you eat to the glory of God? And you know, right? You're aware of his presence and you give him thanks, realizing that it came from the Lord. And Thanksgiving really needs to be more than activities of a special day of the year, or even what we say on that special day. We like to teach our children to say thank you. We insist upon it. We want them to say thank you when something's done for them. We feel rather cheated when we do something for somebody and they don't say thank you. We expect that. We expect those words of thanks. But Thanksgiving doesn't originate on the tongue. It originates in the heart. And if it's just the tongue, then it's not thanksgiving, not at all. The Bible says, "The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so he's looking at our hearts, and he knows if it's just words. That's what Israel did. They spoke the words, they went through the ritual, but they didn't have the heart, and the heart matters to the Lord, and it should to us. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what if we're just giving lip service? What does that say about our heart? The Lord knows. The Lord knows because he sees our hearts. In the mind of God, thanksgiving was, and it always will be, more than lip service. It is truly a voluntary expression of the heart. Thank you, Lord. Have you had a thank you party lately where you just were overwhelmed with God's blessing and you just had to stop and say, "Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this." There ought to be a lot of those times in our life. David understood when he wrote, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." God knew when he had David to pen those words, he knew that people would have a tendency to forget his benefits. And they would focus, perhaps, on the more bitter experiences of life. And, you know, we're sort of prone to that. Just focus on the things and talk about things we don't enjoy. And kind of neglect the fact that we are very blessed. Even in the hardest of times, we are very blessed people, aren't we? Very blessed. The Lord pours out his blessing, the sunshine, the rain, our health, our happiness. And yet he has to wait until November for our Thanksgiving. Oh, it shouldn't be that way. I know it's not completely. But do you thank God enough? I would have to say, probably not. I don't thank God enough. I mean, there's so much we take for granted that he does. Paul told the Colossians, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful," he said, "be thankful." It's not strange that God would have to command us to be thankful. I mean, think of us. We teach our children to be thankful, and we're God's children, and he teaches us. He requires of us that we are thankful, that we have a thankful heart. It's not a selfish thing, though he's deserving of our thanks. But if we have thankful hearts, that's an evidence that our heart's where it ought to be. That the reflections of our heart are toward him, that we're recognizing him for who he is. And so we ought to be thankful, and God insists. It's an imperative. Give thanks to the Lord. Every day should be a Thanksgiving day, and especially as far as spiritual things. We have a lot of spiritual blessings. The greatest of our spiritual blessings, of course, is our salvation. Our salvation, we know God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And these blessings of salvation become more precious as we get older, don't they? A little closer to the end. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And it won't be long. I'm going to be with the Lord. Not so many years. You start thinking about things that, you know, get a new roof on the house. Well, probably be the last one I have to do, or last car I'll have to buy, or last set of tires I'll have to buy for my cars. You get closer, and until you won't even buy green bananas. You know, you just you're not sure about it. So we don't know how long life is going to be. We need to make every day a day of thanksgiving. Every day, we need to count our blessings. Truly we do. I want us to do that tonight. In just a little bit, we're going to have an opportunity to count our blessings. You can be thinking about that. We're going to do it kind of differently. We're going to pray. All of us are ladies as well. I want us to say, "Thank you, Lord, for," and just name something in a sentence. A sentence, a one-sentence prayer. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And you can participate if you like. You don't have to. If you don't want to, you can pray silently. But we're going to talk to the Lord and give thanks. No long prayers, just short thank you prayers. That's what I would like to do tonight, and just see what we think of this. I mean, we give thanks, don't we? We do that audibly, and so we'll audibly say that to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for. Sort of goes against our nature to be thankful when things aren't going our way, though. But the believer has the capacity for that. We do. God gave it to us, to the capacity to thank the Lord even when there are unpleasant or painful things. Painful things. All that's necessary for us to do that is to remember that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that the trying of our faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So what produces patience is something to be thankful for. We need to remember that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's a good thing that we're chastened. If there's something in our life that ought not be there and God gets our attention, we ought to be thankful to him. He loves us enough to do that. So there's really nothing we can't thank the Lord for. We used to as a nation. Ronald Reagan reminded us, while never willing to bow to a tyrant, our forefathers were always willing to get on their knees before God. When catastrophe threatened, they turned to God for deliverance. And when the harvest was bountiful, the first thought was to thank God. Thanksgiving to God. A young man once wrote, "How do you say thanks for, thanks when you have a miscarriage?" His wife had a miscarriage. He said, "I don't know exactly, but I do know this, that it helped me to love and appreciate my wife more." And he was thankful for that. "It helped me to hug my nieces tighter," he said. "It helped me sing louder praise to God. It helped me long for heaven more. It helped me hate abortion more." "All of these things, I think," he says, "I should thank God for. I think I'm better off than I was before." That's some spiritual insight, to be thankful for even something as terrible as a miscarriage. I would ask, are you thankful tonight? You could ask yourself two questions to answer that question. Do you believe God is good? Is He really good? Is He always good? Do you believe God is the giver of all of your abundance? Everything you have came from God. See, that's important. I found this story, true story, 1883. It is said that in New England, the sun didn't rise. Have you ever heard that? The sun didn't rise. The people awoke to an eerie darkness. They went outside to do their chores in stony silence. No rooster crowed, no birds chirping, none of the usual sounds of a new day. At the very start, people began to gather in small groups to question what was happening, to wonder and discuss what was taking place. And slowly, people began to make their way to the churches. They say that by 12 noon, every church in New England was filled to overflow with people on their knees crying out to God. There were cries for mercy, people begging for forgiveness, and others confessing their sins. They say that there were few people who didn't pray the day the sun didn't rise. The churches were full late into the night. As the next day neared, great crowds began to gather on the hilltops and high places near their homes and churches. People were staring toward the eastern horizon, every eye fixed on the point where the sky touched the land. Every eye watching, hoping to catch a glimmer of the first rays of the sun. As the sun began to come up over the horizon, people began to shout and yell praise to God. They clapped and danced and rejoiced because the sun shined on the land again. As in one voice, they began to praise the Lord for the sunlight, the warmth, and the joy of God's new day. They had no idea that on an island nation of Indonesia, the sleeping giant of a volcano, Krakatoa, had come to life. They had no idea this great mountain exploded, sent a huge cloud of dust and ash into the upper atmosphere. This black cloud would be carried around the world by the jet stream. It was said to cover whole regions, covering the sky from horizon to horizon. Few people had any idea that a volcano halfway around the world could create such a cloud that would block out the sun. Yet for most of those people, that was the very first time they ever thanked God for the warmth and wonder of the sun. True story. When was the last time you thanked the Lord for water, for the sunshine, or for the moon in the night sky, or air, or rain, or sleep? We have a lot of things we take for granted. If they were all of a sudden gone, we would cry out to the Lord. We would miss them so much as these did. The truly spiritual person can thank God for just about anything. But God requires more than that, really. I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God requires more. He requires that we thank God, that we thank Him in everything as well, a preposition. Thank God for, a conjunction, and in everything. The Bible tells us very simply, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you ever think about that, the word in? God demands it because He's given us the capacity to be thankful in everything. So He doesn't have to wait for Thanksgiving. We don't have to wait until we see the end. How's this going to turn out? We can thank Him for whatever it is, whatever comes. I told the people down at the nursing home, just came to my mind, there was a preacher who would thank God for everything. And there was a meal being served. I can't remember the details of it, but people thought, well, there's no way he's going to thank the Lord for this. But he stood up and he gave thanks to the Lord. And he didn't thank the Lord for the food. He thanked the Lord that it's not always this way. But he was thankful. Thankful to the Lord for the blessings that he recognized in that minute. In 1621, the pilgrims were certainly thankful for many things, but they were also thankful in hardship. If you stop and think about it, the first Thanksgiving, in bounty and in want, they were thankful. In feast or in famine, they were thankful. In joy or misery, they were thankful. In unpleasant circumstances or pleasant. In sickness as well as health. In sorrow as much as joy. In pain as well as pleasure. In other words, the negative, the hard things, they were thankful for those too. Thankful for their new land. Paul's a great biblical example. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about Paul's thorn in the flesh and how he was, after God explained it, he was thankful for his thorn in the flesh. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." See, Paul had to learn that lesson too. And then later in Philippians, he said, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, unto his death." Be thankful for everything and be thankful in all the circumstances. The songwriter who wrote the beloved "Count Your Blessings," he knew that. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you'll be singing as the day goes by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done." Thanksgiving song. Count your blessings when you're tossed on the billows, when you think all is lost, when you have a load of care, when you carry a cross in time of need and in the midst of conflict, count your blessings and be thankful to the Lord. You have to work at this to be thankful. And so we should. Let me just put it all in a nutshell. God instituted Thanksgiving. It's God's idea. And he commands us to be thankful. Thanksgiving is not just lip service. It has to be from the heart. You have to truly be thankful. That will require some thought. We'll have to think about it. Thankful for what, one might ask? Well, everything that we take for granted would be a good place to start. Everything we take for granted. We had several people die in our church in Pennsylvania. A lady named Dottie and Ruth and a man named Malin. And there was a poem written about it. It's very well written, and I want to read it to you. It's about Thanksgiving. There are loved ones who are missing from the fireside and the feast. There are faces that are vanished. There are voices that have ceased. But we know they passed forever from our mortal grief and pain. And we thank Thee, O our Father, for the blessings that remain. Thanksgiving, O Thanksgiving, that their love once blessed us here, and that so long they walked beside us, shared every smile and tear. For the joy the past has brought us, but can never take away. For the sweet and glorious memories growing dearer every day. For the faith that keeps us patient, looking at the thing unseen. Knowing spring shall follow winter, and the earth again be green. For the hope of that glad meeting, far from mortal grief and pain, we thank Thee, O our Father, for the blessings that remain. For the love that still is left us, for the friends who hold us dear, for the lives that yet may need us, for their guidance and their cheer. For the work that waits our doing, for the help we can bestow, for the care that watches o'er us, whosoever or wheresoever our steps may go, for the simple joys of living, for the sunshine and the breeze, for the beauty of the flowers and the laden orchard trees, for the night and for the starlight, for the rainbow and the rain. Thanksgiving, O our Father, for the blessings that remain. There may be a lot of things that are past. We praise the Lord for our lives that are bright. While we're here on earth, through thick and thin, through dark and light, it doesn't make any difference. They're blessings of the Lord, and we can give thanks. I think we ought to. I think we ought to tonight and tomorrow, special days for this. Because of the promises of God to work all things together for our good, we can thank Him for everything. Everything. Are you thankful this evening? Harry Ironside, do you know the name? Harry Ironside, old preacher, long ago. He was in a crowded restaurant. He just received his food. He was about to begin his meal, and a man walked up to him and said, "Could I sit with you?" Must have been full tables there. Ironside invited him to sit down. As was his custom, Ironside immediately bowed his head and prayed. When he opened his eyes, the other man asked him, "Do you have a headache?" Ironside said, "No." The other man, "Well, is something wrong with your food?" Ironside replied, "No, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat." The man said, "Oh, you're one of those. Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earned my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in." Harry Ironside told him, "Yes, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too." Are we just like the dog? Some days, some hours. Brothers and sisters, let's don't do that. There are not many of us here, but we could make a difference in Corinth Baptist Church just by heeding the message of the word to be more thankful to the Lord. Let's do it tonight. Let's do it tomorrow when we're together. Let's bless the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and share the word together. I know that we have people traveling, and Lord, we pray you'd bless them. Maybe some of them worshiping in other places tonight, and they'll be with family tomorrow. And I pray that they too would truly worship you. And Lord, forgive us where we've been thankless. Help us to be thankful. May you be glorified and honored now by our thoughts, by our response to this message, our application of it to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.